fun.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 193, and I am ChiefED, and I am in Tokyo, Japan, and I am joined by the dynamic duo of Wombat and Shipwreck. Hello, Wombat!
Hello, ChiefED!
Hello, Shipwreck!
Hello, Wombat, ChiefED.
Hi, Shipwreck!
How you doing?
Not bad, how was your day?
It was okay. I spent most of it in a cubicle. You know how it is.
Awesome. Did you have Skittles?
I had the crappy Skittles. Why do they make Skittles that aren't the original flavor? Nobody likes Tropical or Berry Blast or any of these other flavors of Skittles. They're just there for
my
when
question
you can't
to
buy
you
Skittles.
Remains the same. Why would you buy flavored Skittles if you know you don't like the flavor?
Because I wanted Skittles, and just seeing the package of Skittles reminds me that Skittles are good. And so every time it fools me. Every right. time. I know I'm going to hate it, but I'm still going to try it.
That's why they make them now. It's the variety. There's a name for, there's a marketing term for that, and I don't know what it is because I used to fall asleep in my marketing classes because they were at nighttime. But there's product mix or something? That sounds familiar.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, that sounds like
not the Skittles, but the term.
Speaking of shit, right before the show started, I was telling these guys that I have to take a shit, so we have to finish the show before my duty comes out. That's something to keep in mind.
So it'll be an extra long show. We'll make you suffer.
No, well then Shipwreck suggested I just make a duty while we're doing the show, but the cable's not long enough. But then I thought I could get a bucket or something. Actually, this is pretty weird. So, you know, I moved to a new apartment, everything, new neighborhood, and it's like a pretty nice neighborhood. It's a lot of, you know, fancy places here, but one of the things, there's something that really doesn't belong here, and it's, you know, it's about a 5-minute walk from my apartment, and it's the basically the premier S&M love hotel in Tokyo. You know what S&M stands for, Wombat?
Sales and marketing?
Yes. No. What does it stand
no,
for, really?
Sadism and masochism?
Right. Actually, I think it's BDSM.
Yeah.
So it's bondage. Domination.
Yes.
Sadism and masochism.
Yeah, I think that's where we booked our hotel rooms when we come to Japan.
it's very convenient. So I was talking, I had dinner with one of my friends last night. It's actually the guy who ate the poop, that famous guy. And I was asking, what's the deal with this love hotel here? And he told me that he actually, in his younger days, he went there and he took a girl there. And he said the room that they got was so hardcore that it didn't have a toilet. It just had a bucket. Which is pretty disturbing. And he said the girl was so horrified, she basically refused to stay there.
This bucket had a computer like in it, though, right? At least.
No. I think it had like a one of those like gymnastic horses. What do you call those? Like a pommel horse?
Yes.
And a bucket. Which is
so wait, you would have so what does the pommel horse have to do with going to the bathroom?
I don't know. There might have been like maybe there was a hole in the middle of it or something. I'm not sure. I need to do more research. Maybe visit.
That's why I just stick to water sports.
Yeah, that's so much cleaner. All you need is a rubber sheet.
Exactly. No fuss.
And a hose. Anyway, I gotta check that out, but I think that's even too much for Mrs. Chibi, because when we stayed at that other love hotel that had the bed and the cage, and the shackles in the shower, that was a little too much for her too, and the metal chair with the shackles on it, like she wouldn't even sit in the metal chair. What a prude. Anyway, that's all I got. What's up
that
with you, Wombat?
Not anything as exciting as that. Just a couple of little things. I was perusing Netflix over the weekend, you know, the Instant Watch.
Right.
Did you know they made a Spaceballs cartoon series?
I did not.
Neither did I. You know what else? It's terrible. And they got like Mel Brooks voices his character, and I think Daphne Zuniga reprises her role, as does Joan Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awful.
How many episodes did it last?
Like they have like 12 or 13 episodes on the Instant Watch.
I see.
It's just awful. I also watched Year One, the Jack Black movie. Michael Cera, Jack Black.
Oh, that's with the cavemen?
Yeah.
It got terrible reviews.
Oh, that was so bad. It was painful. I don't even know why I watched the whole thing.
Because it's so easy.
Because it was on and I was on the couch.
It's the same reason that I watched The Tester. Because it's just, I just push a button. And especially for me, like, it's not, you know, it's slightly more complicated to get English language programming. And the Tester is so easy that I just watch it, even though really it's such a stupid show.
Have you checked out Justified yet, the new FX show? Because I know you're into those.
I never even heard of it.
It stars Timothy Oliphant, you know, the guy who played the sheriff in Deadwood.
Oh, is he? Yeah, and he's another sheriff again?
He's another sheriff again, but on an FX show.
Oh, is it good?
I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. Oh. I figured you would have, and I was going to ask you.
Oh. No, I saw an ad for that somewhere, but I guess he does make a good cowboy.
He does make a good terrible hitman, good cowboy.
He was the hitman?
He was the hitman.
Oh, my God. Did not know that.
I told him. Now you know.
I would make a good hitman if I wasn't so out of shape.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
And old.
Uh-huh. And if you were good looking.
And, you know, clumsy.
Yeah.
Gawky.
Maybe.
Chewy.
Maybe the hitman is gawky.
Maybe.
So this happened to me on Tuesday. And this has never happened to me before, but it happened to me twice in one day, so I thought it was kind of weird.
You got laid?
No. No, that's happened to me like 7 times in a day.
Whoa! Masturbating to the Spaceballs cartoon, you know, 5 times, and then, you know.
Oh, man, that President Scroob.
Doesn't count. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry, Wombat.
No, it's quite all right. You know, I have friends outside of this show, and some of them I've had for quite some time, and they know I do this show, but that's all they know, because they never listen to it, because they don't care.
Right. Who cares, really?
Exactly. But I got a call from one friend and an email from another, both who, independently of each other, because they actually don't know each other, have been talking to coworkers, and the conversation of video games came up, and they both said that unprompted, both their coworkers mentioned that they listen to the CatCast and that they're big fans.
Wow.
And I thought that was really weird. And they felt the need to call me right away and be like, "You're famous. My coworker knows who you are."
That's pretty sweet.
I don't know if that constitutes as famous, but I'll take it.
Yeah. So, there's nothing like fame without money.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't know how that helps me in any way, but thank you and tell your friend hi. And then my other friend was like, "Well, you're gonna give Ron Suku a shout out on your show, right?" And I said, "I'm not gonna mention Ron Suku's name. I don't care what you say."
Very good.
So
that.
You've never gotten into like a GameStop before?
I've never been outed at a GameStop. Just at my local Target.
Right. Shipwreck's never. Have you ever been spotted outside of like a game show?
Yeah, several times.
Really?
Yeah, mainly when I'm in game stores, but...
Yeah. How does that go? Like, how does that go down?
I don't know. People just ask me if I'm Shipwreck, and I say yes. It's kind of odd. Like,
I never mentioned that before, actually.
I have. It was on my past show, the CAG Foreplay podcast.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not ringing any bells.
Right. No, there's... several times I've either been shopping and the clerks will pick up on who I am, or the other people shopping for games. Like, it's happened probably 5 or 6 times at least.
Are you leaving out a part of the story that you're wearing a name badge that says, "Hello, I'm Shipwreck from Cheap-Ass Gamers CAGcast and CAG Foreplay"?
I think it's the red hair. Like, I don't know. It's the red hair. Right. Maybe my voice is a little bit distinctive. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is.
And it's the 10, 15-year-old girls that are accompanying you to the store?
That's it. My harem. that's the name of my 5th grade girls basketball team.
The harem. Shipwreck's harem.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, anything else, gentlemen, before we move on to last week's show feedback?
I think that's plenty. It's plenty for now.
No? Don't want to talk more about water sports? Oh, yeah,
and I'm going to PAX this weekend. So
right, that's...
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah, I'm reading all the tweets, and I'm getting a little jealous. I get jealous very easily, pretty much anything.
I know. There's going to be a lot of people there. Like, you know, anyone who's anyone is going to PAX East.
I know.
Including yours truly.
I know. And not me. And not Ship.
No.
No.
I said anyone who's anyone.
Right.
Although Ship had many opportunities to accompany me.
I did. I wish I could go, but I can't. I got that basketball tournament this weekend.
Right. All right. Last week's show feedback. So, Wombat, you put this together. Why don't you take it away?
Sure. The first one comes from Quintessence. He goes, I do think it would be nice to see Shipwreck in the CatCast logo. Keep Wombat as his furry self. I wanted to post this one just to a lot of people. Made comments about the new logo and about including Shipwreck. And obviously, yes, that's going to happen. There is also a thread in the podcast forum where you can vote on which of Whip Smart Banky, who's done a real incredible job of putting together some new avatars of me. So check those out and please vote. Your vote counts, maybe.
Which do you prefer, Wombat?
He made a new one.
I saw that. It's the old Wombat with glasses, right? Basically,
and a shirt.
You like that the best?
I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's pretty slick looking, actually.
It is. It looks like the old avatar,
but meaner,
but like a little older.
Yeah, more kick ass.
Yes, and obviously,
it looks like, you know what it looks like. It looks like the old Wombat avatar mixed with Teen Wolf.
Exactly. I think that's what the Volus is going to look like in Mass Effect 3.
Right.
Confirmed on Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a Wombat sent me a message saying that there's a Project Wombat going on with Mass Effect. But the previous fake secret code for a project was Project Sasquatch or something?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. It's just fun to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I guarantee it has something to do with you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Christina
loves you.
Exactly.
Remember when we asked her who she would marry F. Kill and... Shipwreck, the only one that she wanted to have sex with was the guy that she never met in person. You.
It's understandable.
You know what? If I was to have sex with a guy, I would want it to be with the one I haven't met either.
Right.
Yeah.
Go on, Wombat. What else we got?
Condense, and also Frisky Tanuki brought up the same point, but I'll read condensed.
Yes.
Wombat tells everyone not to pirate, but then comments on how he uses other people's PSN account to play games. Wombat is playing games he didn't pay for and is technically not authorized to play. Shaq Fu and hypocrite, smiley face banging head against brick wall.
Well, you see, look what I did here, Wombat. I added the quote from Sony, the computer entertainment president, Jack Trenton.
Jack Fedora Hat Trenton.
Right. He actually approves of game sharing. This is from a couple years ago, but he was asked directly about game sharing, and his response was, you can send that content to four other friends for that initial investment. We want to get the game in as many hands as possible. It's not about generating profits at each and every interaction with the consumer, he said. And I think that really offsets the argument that says, wow, that's a really pricey system.
Well, so we can't believe the second half of that comment. So can we believe the first half?
You mean the fact that he says it's not about generating profits at each and every interaction with the consumer?
Yeah, and the fact that that would offset that it was a really pricey system
right
at that time.
Yeah, I don't think anything could offset that. Yeah, I don't know how much he still believes that comment or how much he even believed it at the beginning. If it was just like, hey, this is like a technical oversight that we have no answer for, so let's just go with the flow and say it's okay. I think that's probably what happened, but he did say it was okay. And he's never come out and said that it's not okay.
And also to clarify, I don't use other people's PSN accounts. I use Shipwreck's.
And sometimes mine.
And sometimes, but mostly Shipwreck's.
Right.
So, you know, I'm keeping it. Terms of service say that it's for, you know, it can be used within family members. And Shipwreck and I are family.
Right.
So I'm not violating the terms of service. That was the other argument. Terms of service says that you can't do that.
Oh, it does.
It does.
Well, I say the president. When the president makes a statement, it outranks the terms of service.
Then I'll say sure, because I guess that makes me less of a fucking hypocrite.
Right. Bang head against the wall, smiley face?
Bang head against the wall, smiley face.
Okay, go on, Wombat. Please continue.
This one cracks me up. Condor says, Cheapy, you've been playing Bad Company 2 with DC Criminal in Kandahar? Kandahar? That's a town in Afghanistan.
Well, you know, one of the maps does look like Kandahar. And I have trouble with the English language. What can
You're
I
a
tell
jerk.
You?
Just
I'm
say
a jerk.
It.
Condor. Sorry. Well, maybe you should spell Condor correctly.
Maybe you should apologize.
I'm sorry, Kandahar. I mean, Condor.
There you go.
Okay. What else, yes. Wombat?
This comes from Loki's. Good to hear that Shipwreck will be a permanent fixture on your show from here on in. Not to knock you two, but he adds a lot of quality and professionalism to the show. Not to mention he seems to favor facts over pulling random bits of half-staff logic out of thin air hoping it's correct. Good decision and good show. You know what? Fuck you.
Hey, what, do you get a free bowl of soup with that hat? Oh, looks good on you. No offense. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. That's okay. Of course. I mean, that's why Shipwreck is on the show.
It
yeah,
is.
It's not the personality or the laughs. I mean, I'm here for the facts.
No, but actually, most of the, there's a lot of the, you know, since we do these contests now, we get a lot of comments, and most of the comments are about Shipwreck, and they do say that Shipwreck is funny. Not only does Shipwreck have the facts and play a lot of games that I would never touch with a 10-foot pole, but he's actually makes funny jokes. So,
I don't get that at all, by the way.
What, the jokes?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think so. I think you've been funnier than when, you know, than when we started. All right. Speaking of Shipwreck, why don't you lead us through this week's new releases?
All right. Well, we have Just Cause 2, which I think we have all been playing, correct?
Not me.
Not you?
Yeah, just me and you. Yeah, Jerky Baldo didn't get it.
Jerky Baldo? Jerky Baldo pre-ordered it like 3 weeks ago. It just hasn't shipped yet from PlayAsia.
Oh.
Sorry, I can't, you know, force them to send me a game.
Mm. Well, I think you should.
Well, tell us about PlayAsia. Tell us about Just Cause 2.
Well, you've played the demo, so you can yeah. kind of get the
course,
gist
of course.
It. I mean, I'm about 2 hours in. How about you, Wombat?
I may be about the same, I guess. I mean, can you really spoil a game that's relatively large with 2 hours? I'm just at the point where I picked a faction, and I did my first faction mission.
Okay, yeah, that's the same point I am.
Which faction did you pick?
The one that was closest. It was it's like at a nuclear power plant or something?
Okay, I went to the one where it's the woman that you see her cutscene in the demo.
Okay.
The Reapers.
The awful voice acting? Well,
yes.
All the voice acting
So you want
awful.
To be a Reaper.
I heard you have some skills.
Yeah, everybody in the game has an absurd accent. There's this one island that has 80 different ethnicities on it somehow, and they all have terrible dialogue. But
Manhattan?
It could be Manhattan, yeah.
It's Stereotype Island, I believe. Is the actual
I mean, it's still fun. You get to blow up a lot of stuff. Stuff blows up good. I still have issues with the controls a little bit, and the guns feel kind of underpowered, even though you're blowing stuff up like crazy.
I find I use a lot of ammo. Like, a lot of ammo.
Yeah, like, maybe it gets better as we go along, but right now it's just like you have a submachine gun and you're just going to take down a silo, and so you just fire at it for a long time.
Yeah, like the demo.
Yeah, although I will admit that, you know, that opening, well, not the opening scene, but the second scene in the prologue at the casino is pretty badass.
Yes, it is.
That whole sequence.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but at the same time, I have trouble with keeping momentum in the game, so all of a sudden I'll pull out my parachute, and then I eventually float all the way back down to the ground and I have to start back up over and climb the tower again.
It can take a little bit of practice, but I also found that climbing up the tower didn't take that long with the grappling hook. If you have to do it on an angle and not just straight up.
Right, you have to go from like tower to tower.
Yeah.
They're kind of like at an angle next to each other.
Exactly, and you would get up pretty fast. And that driving thing is pretty cool when you stood on the roof of the car.
Yes, that is a good time. Once you figure out that you shoot out the tires.
Yeah, I was going to say, the physics in the game are incredible because, you know, you have the cars coming behind you, and you could shoot out the front tires, on the back tires too, but if you shoot out a front tire on the car just flips over and explodes, and it's pretty awesome, especially when there's like four cars behind you.
Yeah, and you can, can't you anchor the cars to something with your grappling hook?
You can anchor the cars to, you know, anything in the environment, but that's, I think, a little above harder. Our skill set.
Right. Well, I read Justin McElroy from Joystick. I read his review of it, and he basically said that the game itself as a sandbox game is awesome, and all the stuff that you can do with, like, with the great physics, like you just mentioned, and, you know, blowing up stuff is just a ton of fun, and the parachuting and the grappling, but the actual, like, campaign, or, you know, like the actual, like, missions that you do are kind of a mixed bag, and that, you know, like the story is, like, barely held together. So he said,
well, I don't think a game like this needs a story. Yeah. All this game needs is a reason to be there.
It's called Just Cause. I mean,
he liked it. He just that was his complaint, and I did enjoy the review. He's one of my favorite. He writes some of my favorite reviews, actually. I like reading his reviews.
Very good. Yeah. What I also like about the game is, and I don't know if there's more of this, but if the demo's any indication, the set pieces are really nice. Like, it's not just, you know, yes, there is the town that's like, oh, wow, it's four identical buildings. But then, you know, the next town over has a missile silo and a mainframe computer and, you know, anti-air turrets and a whole bunch of, it's like something out of a James Bond movie. So I like those large set pieces, like the casino, like the first one in the prologue is pretty large also.
Yeah, the prologue. So. Did you shoot down the satellite dishes in that first area? Did one of them come crashing down on top of you and you had to run out of the way?
No.
I had one come tumbling down the building directly to where I was standing. And so I was just
when you were doing the driving mission, that first one with when you're on the roof of the car, did the last car drive into a gas station?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was a cutscene type thing or if that was just lousy AI that did something cool.
I think that one's probably the same every time.
Okay, yeah, that's a little disappointing actually.
Well, it's good that you could think it might be just, you know, the physics of the game.
Yeah, like they pull it off like the car didn't mean to do it. And I'm like, I wonder if that was supposed to happen. Because if not, it was pretty awesome.
Well, stuff like that's going to happen, though. Because like you said, or I said, that satellite dish came like on a beeline for me and it didn't do anything to you. So
yeah,
it definitely opens up for some pretty cool gameplay.
But I mean, that's a game where I played the demo and I was like, I'm going to order this immediately.
Yeah, I just wish the shooting was a little bit more refined, I think. Or that I had unlimited bullets.
Because there are better weapons. You can upgrade your guns.
Right. It just seems a little bit weak in the shooting.
Yeah, I guess maybe if the weapons are more powerful, then you won't have that problem. Or complaint, rather.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about it in the next couple weeks still, too.
Yep. What else we got?
We have Red Steel 2 for the Wii.
I did play that at Tokyo Game Show.
Okay.
Like, it seemed kind of cool. Like, it seemed more interesting than the first one. I like the whole, you know, Japanese take on a Western. But, you know, like I always say, I'm not interested in playing a first-person shooter where I'm pointing my arm at the screen, you know.
Well, this one's a lot of sword fighting, though, like more than the first one was.
Oh, okay.
So that, I don't know. I'll pick it up, or at least I'll gamefly it. And give it a shot, but
it does come with Wii Motion Plus, right?
Oh, maybe I can't gamefly it then.
I can, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe I will gamefly it so I can play something else with my Wii Motion Plus.
There you go. I don't think I'm going to go out and purchase a Wii Motion Plus just to gamefly it.
Right. It has good reviews. It has an 81 on Metacritic right now. So that's pretty promising.
Yeah, it's pretty comparable to Just Cause.
Very nice. All right, what else we got?
For the DS, there's Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey, which, of course, that RPG, I'll talk about it briefly because there are a lot of Shin Megami fans out there. And this is a kind of old school RPG where it's a first person view and you just see the enemies pop up in front of you. And it's all turn based and everything. It looks like a good old style RPG. I'll pick it up.
Dragon Quest style?
Yes, like Dragon Quest style. The old Dragon Quest style.
Yes, yeah. The first one.
Yeah.
On the Nintendo.
Yep. Let us see. What else do we have?
I played that bitch.
There was MotoGP came out. I don't think any of us really care.
Squishy Tank?
Squishy Tank looks interesting. Just because it's called Squishy Tank. It's
got a person poking a tank.
Yeah. I know nothing about that. I know the guys over at Tech Gaming, they seem to like that game when they put it at E3, but that's all I remember. I didn't check that one out.
Yeah, but didn't they get a free steak lunch when they...
No, that was a different company. Different company.
And they never actually got the steak, right? It was just a meeting at a steak restaurant.
It was just happened to be at a steak restaurant, yes.
Well, the guy making the game was also their waiter.
Right. Right, he was working at the time.
For WiiWare, Cave Story came out, which is a... it was free on the PC like a few years back, but people seem to be excited that this came out for WiiWare, so I'll give that a go this week, I guess, and report back on that. And then Game Room came out for Xbox Live Arcade. I checked that out.
You want to talk about... Yeah, I guess we'll talk about that now.
Do you want to check it? Or we can talk about it in the Xbox.
We got a lot of Xbox stuff to go over.
All right, let's talk about it now.
Let's talk about it now.
I went in. I downloaded it. I got my, 75 gamer score points for just decorating my different rooms. They give you several little... I don't know, just little items to place in your rooms. No games or anything for free, but I stuck those in there, and they gave you some themes for the different rooms, and I was all ready to spend some money, actually. I was like, okay, I'll give Game Room a try, and then I went through the games, and those are old. Those are really old games.
Oh, you didn't want to play Jungler?
I did. I went through... You get a 10-minute demo on each of these. One shot at the 10-minute demo, like... If you don't use all the 10 minutes, that was your one chance at the demo anyways. I played through almost all of the games on demo mode.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I don't think I played any of them longer than 2 minutes. Like, I never felt the need to play them longer.
For the full demo.
You bailed for the full demo.
On the free demo.
On the full demo. So even, like, combat, which I really love, this... Game Room style of it just isn't doing it for me.
And it has no online, right?
No,
it's
combat
straight up. Yeah. They're the straight up original games. There's no
tweaks. What's the point?
They need to be more current. I think there's a point here if these games get up to the 8-bit and 16-bit era. But these are really old. Who wants to play football? Real sports football from the Atari 2600.
I played Asteroids, and I was like, all right, it's Asteroids, and it's taking up, like, 25% of my TV screen, and I lasted about 2 minutes, and I was like, I checked out, like, they have, like, this rewind feature.
So that's like, kind of cool.
Yeah, which is cool. You die, you can rewind. You know, of course, you won't get any credit on the leaderboards for that, but, you know, it's a nice feature and all, but like you said, I mean... It's a cool idea, and the implementation seems like kind of interesting that you can customize your own space and, you know, invite your friends in. But really, like, it always comes down to the games, and, you know,
you can play as much Asteroids as you want for free on the Atari website.
Yeah, it's just it's.
Yeah,
it's
the games like, these just aren't. They're not quality games anymore. Like,
yeah,
even if it was like Pac-Man from back then. Not the Atari 2600 version, which I'm sure is what we're going to get, but even if it was Pac-Man on here, like, that's at least gameplay-wise, that holds up. None of these games particularly hold up very well.
Right. I mean, hopefully what we'll see, well, not hopefully, but I think what we're going to see is publishers may use this as, like, a promotional vehicle. So, like, hey, if you pre-order such and such game, you know, from Konami, we'll throw in, like, you know, Jungler.
Russian Attack.
Yeah, or something like that. Or maybe hopefully you'll see some sponsors come and say, hey, we're going to sponsor, you know, we're going to pay Microsoft money, and then everybody, you know, can have such and such a game for free.
I still think not bundling these together is a terrible mistake. To sell them all piecemeal is just, what a waste. What a waste of a good idea.
Yeah. And You said before it always takes a lot of content.
I mean, Rock Band and Guitar Hero learned very early bundles are the way to go.
Yeah, and it's weird because you have to download the bundles anyways just to play the demos, at least for these first two bundles. So you're downloading them as a bundle in the first place, but then you can't buy them as a bundle. But
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Did you have trouble with the controls, Cheapy? Like, figuring out what button did what?
Of course. And Asteroids, I was like, all right, I don't know. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I lasted like 3 seconds because I had a hard time steering the ship.
Yeah, I think that's a really big oversight
on
their part.
Somebody needs to take that out of the show and like use it as a loop somewhere. I lasted about 3 seconds because I didn't know how to steer the ship.
That's right.
But, I mean, these are supposed to be appealing to more of a casual audience, I would think, eventually, once they get past all this really old stuff. But I just found like the whole interface, and like every time I entered into a game, I had to figure out what button did what. It didn't feel right.
Yeah, and you click on, like, you know, they have a feature, it says like history of the game. I'm like, oh, this could be interesting, and I click on the history of the game, and it's like 2 sentences about the game.
Yeah, and it needs some work. I think it's a good idea. I'm still not down with the whole like avatars kind of actual physical space that it tries to do. Like setting up the rooms with the arcade machines and everything. I could just as well go through a menu for it.
Right. I kind of like that part of it, but I don't know. We'll see. Like you said, it all comes down to the games, and until there's some decent games on there, it's probably not even worth talking about.
Yeah, you can adjust the screen size on the stuff, though. I know people
you can,
probably,
but yeah. And I did that with Asteroids, but the problem is with these old games, it's got like the vertical screen.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I tried to play Scramble, and it's really like unplayable because you have to play it in that vertical orientation, and you know, if you stretch it out, you're just going to destroy the aspect ratio. I mean, you could turn your TV set sideways, I guess, and it's probably not going to happen, though. Anyway, what else we got?
I think that's about it for new releases.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Sure? How to Train Your Dragon? You didn't want to talk about that?
That's a movie title.
How did you train your dragon? Like, I started, like, I'd say around, like 13, 14.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Yeah, I did a little bit every day. And eventually, you can be quiet and get good at it.
All right, it's disgusting.
What? I'm talking about dragons.
I know. All right, let's move on to some CAG shopping, game shopping and CAG news. Basically, you know, what's going on right now in game shopping is that the Xbox 360 consoles there's gift card promotions everywhere. Like, almost every retailer has a $25 gift card when you buy an arcade and a $50 gift card when you buy the Elite, the bundle that comes with ODST and Forza 3, which is a pretty good deal, you know. But I guess this is happening because of the rumored Xbox 360 Slim that's supposed to be coming our way, and I guess is going to be announced at E3. Because usually when something like this happens and every retailer is offering it, there's some sort of hardware change happening.
Yeah, sure. They're in a really good spot right now, though. Like, 360, I've said it before, this is going to be a huge year for the 360. And when there's such short supplies of the PS3 and the Wii, like, this might have just fallen into their laps right now, but They are going to be racking in the dough here for the at least the first half of the year.
Because there's still shortages, right?
Yeah, there's still shortages. I think GameStop said it's still a couple months out before they think that their shortages will be up for the PS3 at least. But it's just, I know 4 people at work that have bought 360s in the last week, and I really think the Wii has become a gateway drug for the 360 now that the 360 is so cheap.
It's the gift card deals that are doing it for these guys?
It's the gift card deals, and when you look at it, used 360 games are so cheap compared to the other two systems.
Yeah, you get used 360 games for like $3, $5.
Yeah, it's such an affordable system right now. And all 4 of the people, I went around and, like, they all know me as the game guy, so they come up and talk to me or whatever. And they were Wii-only owners.
Is this before or after they took your lunch money?
And flushed your head in the toilet. Swirly, yes. Gave you a swirly.
You have to realize where I work. Come on.
Right, he's the cool guy.
I'm the cool guy, yes. But they are all Wii only owners. They didn't even have like PS2s or anything last generation. These are all like people who have been reintroduced to video games by the Wii. And they all were kind of like ready for the next step. Like the Wii has kind of trained them and got them to a certain point. And now when they see all these commercials on TV for the Call of Duties, and they don't understand the God of War, like these aren't people that understand whether or not God of War is on the PS3 or the 360. They just see the graphics and they know that
it's not Wii.
It's not Wii. But then they see like the baseball games and everything, and they're going out and becoming Wii and 360 owners. And
so basically they know they want something, and then they go to the store and they maybe can't find a PS3, or they see these gift card promotions with a 360 and they wind up coming home with a 360.
Yeah. And I asked them all if they knew Natal was coming, and none of them did. Like, I don't think anybody knows Natal is coming besides...
What games are these people getting?
They are getting Forza. Mm-hmm. They are getting Call of Duty.
Well, remember, if they get the Elite, it's going to come with Halo, ODST, and Forza.
Right.
That's true, so they may just wind up not getting anything right away.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a pretty sweet deal. You get a $300 Elite with Forza and Halo, and you get a $50 gift card.
Yeah, I know one of them got Mass Effect 1 because he saw so much about Mass Effect 2 that he was interested.
And it was like $4, probably.
Yeah, it's cheap. Like, it's super cheap to be like somebody new coming into the 360 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said that about the 360, is that the 360 has the most cheapest games.
The most cheapest, huh?
The most games and the cheapest games.
Yes.
You know? And that's a big thing. So, yeah, of course, the PS3 has extra value in that it's a Blu-ray player. And if you're interested in Blu-ray, obviously that's a fantastic value right there.
But yeah, another guy at work,
for the games.
Yeah, it's 360.
And even new games. Like, you always see the price drop happen for the three, multi-platform games. Like, almost always the 360 version winds up dropping quicker.
Yeah, because another guy at work, he's looking to get a system. He wants to be able to stream media, and he's not a big gamer or anything, and he likes Blu-ray. And I'm like, well, you should get a PS3. So it's not like I'm pushing 360 on people at work. Like, there's certain things that both do well, but the 360 does cheap really well.
It does, indeed. And we'll see. Hopefully, it'll be interesting to see what happens at E3 if this rumored slim 360 comes out. And if they, what they do with the pricing on that. And in fact, we got a tweet here from eMaster1980, and he says, like, given that this 360 Slim is a possible E3 announcement, and Nintendo has the 3DS, what do you think Sony's going to drop at E3 other than Move? And I think Move is what they're going to focus on.
They're going to bust a Move?
They're going to bust a Move, and that's going to be the whole show. I mean, think about it. It was a big part of last year's E3. And they didn't have any games last year.
I know. I feel like they need to pull out something, though. I mean, they had their Slim last year, too, though. So
they had the PSP Go.
Yeah, they had the Go.
The Go and the Slim. Maybe the PSP 2.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the PSP turned 5 today. Or was it yesterday? Whatever it was. This week.
Right.
The PSP turned 5. A lot of consoles don't make it past 5 years. There's nothing wrong with a 5-year-old life cycle. And to say, hey, we listened to everyone's complaints, and here it is, the PSP2. The 2 stands for 2 analog sticks.
2 analog sticks and...
4 shoulder buttons.
Right. Well, we'll see. I don't know. That would be a good announcement. I mean, Nintendo's going to go, like you said, the 3DS and the vitality sensor. Perhaps.
That was last year.
Well, they didn't. They just showed a picture of it, and they said like one sentence about it. So maybe they'll actually have something to talk about, which is maybe the worst idea ever in the history of video games. The vitality sensor. Oh, I can put my finger in this thing. It's going to take my pulse, and that'll somehow be used in a game.
It'll be for Call of Duty. That way, you'll be your heartbeat monitor, so you'll be able to tell where everybody's at.
Right,
you'll be
able to tell where you're at. That's where what goes.
It's for your Pokemans.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. E3 should be very interesting this year. That much is certain. And other game shopping news. Speaking of cheap Xbox 360, Amazon's got these ongoing gift card and credit promotions, and Halo Reach is the latest game to be added with that. So you can get a $20 gaming credit if you buy Halo Reach from Amazon. And I got the full list up of game credit deals from Amazon up on cheapassgamer.com, right on the front page. Can't miss it. Yeah, they had to match Walmart there. You know, Walmart, you know, led the way with that deal, and you know, these guys are always battling it out, matching each other. Let's see what else. We had some contests, and I have the winners for Wishlist Wednesday, where you just by adding a game to your wishlist on KAG, you can win the $60 game of your choice. And this week it is Flop and Zark7. Congratulations to you two guys. And for our KAGcast contest, where if you just post in the KAGcast thread, you can have a shot at winning a $60 Amazon gift card. The winner is ZForce915. So everybody's a winner on the KAGcast.
Yes, congratulations. What games did those people pick?
I don't know, because I literally just picked the names right before the show.
Okay. Well, we can't go into details on this, but we have, if you're listening to this, the day it comes out, which is Thursday, there's going to be a contest up on KAG that you'll most likely want to check out, because there's a pretty big prize in it.
Yes. You can just hit the front page of KAG. You'll see it at around
Dinner
what time?
Dinner with Shipwreck.
11 a.m., right?
Around 11 a.m. Eastern time, I believe. It's only for one day.
You can win a video game console that's not an Xbox or a Wii.
Yes.
So a DS.
Right. Actually, it's a half a DS.
Yeah. The top
just
half.
The D.
Yeah, it's a D. Shipwreck is going to keep the S. All right. Anything else in KAG?
I am
news?
An S man.
What's that?
He made a joke. It was a Shipwreck joke.
I
he said he's
joke.
An S man.
You're an S. That's pretty good. Just a little housekeeping KAG note. We've been getting a lot more traffic than usual lately, and I'm not really 100% sure of the reason why, but basically it's up about 20% from this time last year. So Super Programmer John is in the process of adding a new server to the mix, and hopefully that will keep the site speedy. So if it's a little sluggish right now, we're working on it. John's working on it, basically. I'm not really doing anything except paying for the new server. All right, well, let's take a little commercial break for our friends at GoDaddy.com. We have a bunch of coupons that... That's great. We have a bunch of coupons that you can use to get cheap web hosting and or registered domain names. Use coupon code KAG10 for 10% off any order, KAG5 off 30 for $5 off a $30 order, and coupon code KAGDOMAIN for $6.95 domain registrations. Go to GoDaddy.com and get Wombat and Shipwreck paid. Thank you. All right, let's move on to multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff. You see, I've moved Wombat's news and stuff to multi-platforming for weeks like today when we don't really have any multi-platform games that we want to talk about.
And I did a good chunk of the outline.
You did? Did you add something to this?
I added a whole bunch of the outline.
No, to the section, I mean.
No, I added to the other sections because everything I found was for the other stuff.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
I'm not knocking you. I'm just making sure that I'm looking at the same thing that you're looking at.
Yeah. Yes, we're looking at the same thing.
Excellent. So one of the more interesting things to come out this week was a new service called Game Crush. And it's at gamecrush.com. And basically what it is, it's a way you can rent a female to play a game with you for, I guess, 10 minutes at a time. So you can play with this female on Xbox Live or, I guess, browser, like Flash games on your PC. And if you use the game, if you play in a PC game, you can actually look at the girl. You can actually video chat with her. If you're doing it on the Xbox, it's just, you know, your regular voice chat.
I think you could keep, like, your computer, like, if you have a laptop, I think you can, like, keep it open and...
No, you can't. You can't.
You can't even do that?
No.
Push
363, I mean, maybe if you work out something with her on the side, I don't know, but... So, basically, it's... Let's see, it's $8. For $8.25, you get 500 credits, and to play a game costs $400 credits. And it says $100 tip at the end? Are you 100 credit tip? Is that a joke? I can't tell if that's a joke or not. But, so basically, you know, for a little under $8, or maybe $7, you can play a game with a girl for 10 minutes. I mean, it's an interesting idea. And as far as the website, you know, I'm trying to figure out, like, are we going to make money doing this? Because I'm interested in that part of it. I mean, it seems a little pathetic that somebody would go on and do this.
What's a hostess club for gamers?
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, so there's alcohol.
I think they get naked.
You think they're going to get naked?
Yes.
Well, there's two different types of girls. Like, you can, well, the girls can set their mood to there's flirty and dirty. Okay, now I'm reading this article about was on IGN. This guy wrote a little preview, Damon Hatfield, and he basically said he picked a girl. He picked flirty, but there was no flirting going on. I mean, I guess if your only two options are flirty and dirty, flirty means like nothing, and dirty means probably dirty or flirty. So I don't know.
One involves dildos and the other one doesn't. Is right. Wrong. Is probably.
I mean, I would do it as like a goof, but
should I ask for a review code?
You should.
I think you should.
No. You know what? I'd rather just pay so you can, you know, get a genuine experience
anonymously.
Yeah, you don't want to like something to like game. It's like going to a restaurant and telling them you're a restaurant critic. You don't want that. The girl's gonna be like rubbing her tits against the camera if you get the review code. I don't know. I mean, would you ever do this, Wombat, in a million years? Let's say you had a lot of disposable income.
I still wouldn't do it. If I had a lot of disposable income, my wife would be more readily available.
Okay. What if you... Okay, so let's take it back a bit. Let's say you're not married.
Okay.
Let's say you're 25 years old. You live in Manhattan. You're, you know, you're not, like, getting laid a lot.
You're not very attractive.
You're not very attractive. So basically, it's you 5 years ago.
But there's other chat rooms that are free.
Right.
So why would I, you know, you have
to
have...
You can look at the girl,
you have to
I
have
guess.
Literally, not even like, even if you don't have real life skills, but to have not even internet skills to pick up a girl online.
Right. But you can play Battleship with them.
Yeah.
And you can look at them.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. I thought it was interesting, and I'm curious to see how successful they'll be, or because I don't know. It seems like an interesting business concept.
There's probably an audience for it.
There probably is.
There probably is.
Yeah, dudes who like to whack their noodle. That's about it.
But they don't like to. I mean, like, look. Here's what it comes down to.
Want to see my Halo juice?
Wow, Glavin. I mean, here's what it comes down to. Let's say I'm very lonely, okay? And it's Friday night, Mrs. Cheapy's off with friends or dinner or something, and I'm lonely and I'm horny. I can go to GameCrush.com and pay $8.25 and play Battleship with a girl for 10 minutes who will probably do nothing except talk to me about Battleship and games. Or, for free, I can watch pornography and masturbate. I'm probably going to do the one that's free and that involves me ejaculating at the end.
I think if you paid $8, you're ejaculating whether she asks for it or not.
Why are you taking so long to make your turn?
Oh, you sunk my battleship.
Right. So I don't know. I think, yeah, so maybe this will be a huge failure. And that's it for that. I guess we should move on to Sony, where we can talk about God of War 3, because I got it. Yay, and Shipwreck finished it. And Wombat is masturbating while playing Battleship.
Exactly. Say E3 again.
Right.
B26.
Tell me you got a media badge. Tell me. So, yeah, God of War 3, as I said on Twitter, after several hours of playing God of War 3, I can indeed confirm that it is God of War 3, which basically means that it's pretty much exactly like you'd expect it to be. It's God of War 2 with better graphics. And I don't know. Anything. I mean, Shipwreck, you finished the game. Am I way off base here? I'm only like 2 or 3 hours into it.
Oh, no, you're good. That's what it is. It's another God of War game. But the reason I think it's still a big release is that there really haven't been any competitors for it besides Dante's Inferno that just came out.
And Dante's Inferno doesn't measure up that well, I don't
exactly. think. Exactly. I mean, that's why it's still a top-tier game.
Yeah, I mean, Oscar the Grouch writes in, he says, do you really think it's a AAA title? The jumping mechanic is incredibly broken. And he goes on to say that the camera is wonky. And it's fun and it's good, but it's not really a AAA title. Do you think that the title has gotten a pass on these issues because it's God of War? And it's the same game with a different... Or a same game with a different name would be more critically punished. I don't know if the title of the game helps it as much. I think really it's still a great game no matter what. Even though it's God of War 2 with better graphics, and sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that's all you want.
So if it was called Frank of War, you'd still say it was just as good.
Yes, I would. I would.
Because I mean, I don't even care about Kratos.
Right. I don't care about Kratos. I just care about pulling people apart and stabbing them through the face.
Yeah, it's really the... Well, first of all, it's the jumping mechanic, yes, it's not very good. I touched on that in my written review where it's just weird how they do the double jump mechanic.
Yeah, what was the... It is a little weird, but I forget specifically why it's weird.
Well, double jumping in most games, you jump and then you wait until you get to the height of your jump and then you jump again.
Oh, this one you have to push it right consecutively.
Yeah, it's like you do jump and then he does his first jump and then he does his... double jump after that.
Right,
it's just,
right.
It's just odd.
Right.
Wonkiness of the camera, I didn't really run into that too much. I mean, there might have been a few instances where maybe you were switching between two fixed camera angles, and maybe it didn't... You were fighting in one area, and the camera was in the next, but I didn't really notice that too much in God of War 3. I thought it did a very... like, very good job of keeping up with the action.
Right. Yeah, me neither. No, I like it. I wouldn't.
The sense of scale and everything is just so good, and it's yes. Everything's so polished.
Yes.
That it's... I just don't, like... If you liked God of War 1 and you like God of War 2, I think you're really going to like God of War 3.
Of course you will, because it's the same game.
Sure.
Basically, and that's fine. You know, I don't mean to sound like I'm knocking it. I'm not. It's just... It's basically exactly what you expect. And you know, and that's not bad. It's just not, it maybe not be like thrilling. I'll tell you that, I don't want to do any spoilers of it, but I don't know. I like it. I'll continue to play it. It's another game that I have to play with when Mrs. Chibi is around. So it might take me a little while to get through that. Neji writes in and he says, I remember Shipwreck was reviewing Yakuza 3. Can you guys please talk about the game a little since the review is not out yet? I've been dying to hear what you guys think about it. Thanks. Have you played it at all?
I have still not received my review copy of it.
Oh, you have the Japanese one still.
I have the Japanese one still, so I've played that version, but I think I've talked about the Japanese version enough. I will get back with Sega and see what happened there.
Yeah, but, you just email them.
Yeah.
Stat.
All right. Who put this next item on the list?
I put it on there. Is that a
okay.
problem?
No. Tell me about it.
Do you want to take stud. This off the air?
Tell me about it, stud. What movie?
I got
from?
Chills.
Right,
they're multiplying, and it's about Little Big Planet 2. So supposedly in an interview, a Dutch PlayStation marketing manager named Folkert Langveld may have dropped that Little Big Planet 2 is happening, which a lot of people thought may not actually happen. But then there's other people that think maybe he misspoke.
What
so,
how could he misspeak about that?
I don't know. But, you know, it's in some ways it is surprising because I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but they really do support the crap out of Little Big Planet. I mean, they release new content for that game just about every week. And they are adding move support to Little Big Planet.
Right.
So they may be making enough money off of the current game where releasing a sequel may not even be necessary.
Yeah, it's basically a downloadable content vehicle.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
You know, so you have those little outfits for your sack boy.
And DLC
I download all the free ones that they put out because they put free ones out every couple of weeks. But I haven't played this game since maybe 2 weeks after it was released.
Yeah, me too. And I was so psyched for it. It never came
together. I told you both that neither one of you guys would like it. And you both told me I was crazy.
I know.
Not saying it's a bad game. I just know what you two guys will like and not like.
Right. All right, what else we got?
I played Eye of Judgment on the PSP today.
Why?
I happened to really enjoy the PlayStation 3 game when it worked. When it worked, the PlayStation 3 game was a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah, tic-tac-toe with monsters is all right.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what it is, but that was kind of cool. And the PSP game takes away the need for a camera and physical cards and makes it all digital, which is what they should have done with the PS3 game to begin with.
Right.
And that also could have been a DLC vehicle that probably would still be making money for them, as opposed to the train wreck that it became with trying to sell physical cards in a store. But
that
anyway...
That was dumb. That was a really short-sighted idea.
It was. I don't think... It sounds really cool when you say it, but when you throw in the need to buy a physical object, plus that it didn't always work... It never worked. Because we tried it more than once, and never worked.
It worked in that it worked sometimes, but we could never get a whole game complete because it would only work like maybe 10% of the time. You're just sitting there moving the cards back and forth underneath it.
And plus games with physical cards, like people want to play them in person, you know, and they want to like meet up. Like, you know, those games are huge here in Japan. And of course you see kids play them, you know, in like the lobby of apartment buildings, like everywhere. And obviously with Eye of Judgment and a camera, you know, you need your PS3. It's not that type of game. Like, why even bother with
physical cards? Well, what was cool about Eye of Judgment and was, you know, when you put the cards down, it did, you know, quote unquote, come to life where you saw the monster rise up and move and do something. It wasn't just a static card on your screen. And that was kind of cool to see. And it was kind of fun to be able to play that game with Shipwreck. But like he mentioned, it didn't really work. PSP game takes all of that away. The problem with the PSP game, and I only played the demo, and the demo was great. It's exactly what I thought it would be. It's just that it's $30 for a digital-only game, and it just seems a little steep.
Yeah.
I wish they would just release it for the PS3. That way we could play online against each other.
I think there is online, but I don't know how...
Well, yeah, but we don't play online on our PSP. Come on.
No, exactly. But yeah, I think it would be if they re-released this as a PSN game. It should be half the price. It should be a $15 PSN game, like the Magic game is on the Xbox.
Right.
I think exactly what it could be. It could be a DLC vehicle. They need to just say, you know what, we were wrong about the first Eye of Judgment, and I think they released a sequel to it also, and say, you know what, no Eye of Judgment 1, no Eye of Judgment 2. Here's your digital game. All digital. Will release DLC packs of cards for those who really get into it. But because it's the shame of the game is that there's a really good idea there.
They didn't release a sequel for it.
I thought it was a DLC.
They released expansion packs.
Expansion, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that is that.
All right. Well, let's move on to Microsoft. We talked about Game Room. And we didn't mention that it didn't work at first when they launched it.
But it's all fixed now?
I guess so.
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. So
it was fixed for me this morning when I tried it.
Yeah. They fixed it fairly quickly. But it was weird. It didn't work when it first launched. One of the things I want to talk about, well, let's see. Shipwreck and I both finished Metro 2033.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about that. I mean, I was thinking that we could do a spoiler-filled discussion after the show. But we'll talk about it very briefly now, and then we'll talk about it a little, you know, briefly after the show as well, but with spoilers.
Sure.
I really enjoyed the game. I think it's definitely worth playing through. It's a first-person shooter that's very heavy on atmosphere, and that's like the overall strength of the game. The weakness of the game is pretty much everything else, like the shooting, and you know, which is tough for a first-person shooter to have that as a weakness. But the atmosphere is so strong, and the whole look of the game is so. I found it very interesting and unusual that I would really recommend to people who find the prospect of playing in a Russian subway system after a nuclear holocaust interesting. I think they should definitely check it out. Maybe not buy the game at $60, but it's a very strong rental. I think it only took me... I mean, I finished the game in 2 days.
Yeah, so it took me around 9 hours, I think.
Yeah, so it's not very long.
And we both played on easy too.
Yeah, Shipwreck told me that I should definitely play on easy, so I just started off on easy.
Yeah,
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I talked briefly about this last week in the whole shooting somebody in the back of the head with a shotgun and that not killing them. But I warmed up on the game a little bit since we spoke last week, because I think I recommended people not check it out. And I still wouldn't recommend it for everybody to check out, definitely, because it just doesn't have the polish there in the shooting mechanics.
Would I like it?
You might. On easy, maybe. I bet you would like it.
Yeah.
Because I definitely died on easy, but I didn't have very many like overly frustrating points of the game. That made me, like I said, I finished it in 2 days, so certainly it couldn't have kept me at bay that long. It really reminded me of playing Chronicles of Riddick on the original Xbox. That it looks, it has this very unique look to the game, and that is almost like the most important part of the game, like the whole atmosphere. Because I remember Chronicles of Riddick, maybe the control wasn't exactly spot on there either. It was a little, it was different. And I think it's just so strong in this game that it's worth checking out. It does interesting things with you have to put on a gas mask when it comes, when you get into an area that's toxic, and you hear your character breathing in the gas mask, which really adds to the whole ambiance of the game. I don't know. I think it does a lot of little things right, and the look of the game is so strong that it's worth checking out. And when you do play on easy, maybe the shooting isn't, the guns are underpowered and all that, but it's not much of a problem when you play on easy.
Yeah, I think the main difference between easy and medium is just you don't die in two shots. You die in like 8 or 10. So yeah. It gives you a chance to find out where the sharpshooters are shooting you from. And maybe duck behind cover and recover your health some. It was just a lot more enjoyable on easy than it was on medium or normal or whatever it was.
And I think, because you're playing in like this nuclear apocalypse, so the guns maybe are supposed to be underpowered because they're all kind of like junky. They're supposed to be junky.
Sure, but the enemy's guns are underpowered. That's the issue.
That's why you need to play on easy, because then it's more fair. But anyway, okay, we'll talk about that more later, because I want to talk about some.
Because you're putting me to sleep.
Right. So let's talk about the Splinter Cell Conviction demo that appeared on the Xbox Live Marketplace. There, did everybody play it?
I know I did.
I did as well.
Yay! Hat trick. Well, Wombat, I know you're a big Splinter Cell fan, so let's start with you. What'd you think of it?
My problem with the demo was that it was a little too hand-holding, and I didn't feel like I played the game. I just felt like I followed instructions, and then the demo was over.
It was very short.
It's very short, and it's very hand-holdy, where it just says, okay, now hit A. Okay, now hit X. Okay, now pull the right trigger. Okay, demo over. Like, well, what did I do? What did I learn? So in that sense, it was a little underwhelming.
Okay.
It looks like a Splinter Cell game. And I like the idea of the tagging and the insta-kill tagging.
Mark and execute?
Yes. Is that what that's what they call
yes.
it?
Yes. Where you have to, every time you do a melee kill with somebody, a stealth melee kill, you earn the ability to mark and execute up to three guys, which means basically you can, click over their heads and sort of tag them. And then simply by pushing, I think it's Y, after you tag them,
automatically kill them, which is good and bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different from the other Splinter Cell games.
Well, yeah, and just the fact that, just go ahead and kill everybody is very different from Splinter Cell.
It's interesting to see how the game has changed over the years, because the last Splinter Cell, what was the last one called? Was that Double Agent?
Yes.
That seems right.
It basically, it used to be all about the stealth, and the game used to be almost in complete darkness. And we've watched it sort of progress to where the last one, Double Agent, a lot of the stuff was actually outside in broad daylight. And while, yes, you're still doing some sneaking, there was a lot more just straight up shooting people. And, you could see, you actually could see. Everything wasn't just green night vision. And I guess now with this one, they're even taking it a step further. You know, with the whole mark and execute thing.
And yes, it was called Double Agent.
Yeah, and I liked the last one.
It wasn't bad. You could get that for $14.99 at GameStop.
Huh.
You could get the first Splinter Cell for $2.
So, I mean, Ship, what did you think of the demo?
I'm not a Splinter Cell fan.
Oh, you're not?
No, I played the demo, and it didn't really... It really didn't do that much for me. Like, I'm just not a big stealth guy, and then it just felt like it, like Wombat said, it just felt like I wasn't doing anything in the demo. I will play the full game because that's what I do. But the demo, it just felt like, okay, I go punch this guy in the back because he never turns around,
and then I can shoot the guys, execute the guys that do turn around.
Yeah, then I get to notice that there are guys there, and then I look at them, and then they die.
Yeah.
It's very much a game of convenience. It's, oh, I can only take out three guys once I knock out one guy. Oh, look, here's a guy I can't see. And then you go through a tunnel, and then the same thing is the same pattern again. And what's going to be interesting in the final game is how do they vary that up? Because as demos go, this game didn't really make me want to get the game. It made me go, really? Is this what the game's going to be like? If so, I don't want it.
Yeah, I agree. As a demo, it's not very strong. And it's... Splinter Cell is a game, like the whole series is the whole point of the game is supposed to be like very realistic, which is why you can't just jump into a room and just start shooting people, because if there's 10 guys in a room with guns and it's just you, they're going to kill you no matter how good you are. And that's what the old games were like. But now here comes this game, and now you have this very video gaming mechanic of where you can, if you do a melee kill, you get like superpowers.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, actually, just because, well, I'm not a big Splinter Cell fan, like I said, but that, maybe the mechanic's not the best, but it at least makes me want to try Splinter Cell again.
Because you get to see blood shoot out of a guy's head in slow motion?
Yeah, that's good. But the trial and error still kind of kills me on these games, too. Like, you get to that point where you're using your PDA or whatever to look under the door, and there's a guy standing behind the door. And then it says something like open door or bash door down.
Right.
And I thought the correct choice was probably bash door down because I thought guy was standing.
We haven't played Splinter Cell.
Well, that's I'm not good at these games.
Right.
But I thought, why would it give me the option to bash door down when there's a guy standing almost directly behind this door if that's not what they want me to do? And then I died there, and I had to go all the way back to the beginning of the demo.
Well, was that 2 minutes? I mean, barely.
Well, yeah, but it was 2 minutes I didn't want to play again. Like, I don't like repeating sections in games.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I'll agree with Wombat that the demo is not a strong demo as far as demos go. Hopefully the full version is better and doesn't make you feel like it's just leading you along. But I have a feeling that, I don't know, we'll see. Why even have conjecture?
Well, it's what the thing is, and you know, it sounds funny, but it's not Batman.
Right. Batman kicks the shit out of that.
Batman did a better job at being Splinter Cell than Splinter Cell does at being Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
There was a difference in pacing and atmosphere where this game could be that, but it's really a question of it's the pacing. I know my attention span isn't what my attention span was when I first played the first Splinter Cell. And I need a game that's going to move a little bit quicker. And I can't wait for a guy to walk really slowly in front of me so I could sneak up behind him even slower and smack him in the back of the head.
Right. Well, I don't mind that as much as you might, but we'll see. I remember just really enjoying Double Agent. And I played all of them. I played Chaos Theory, too. I mean, that was good, too.
I know you did.
Okay, let's move on. You talked about Just Cause 2. Oh, the new Mass Effect. Is that, that's out? The new Mass Effect downloadable content?
With the Hammerhead?
Yeah.
Yes. I downloaded it.
It is?
I downloaded it. Yeah, see? I'm glad I brought it up.
I didn't know it was out. I knew the new costumes were out.
The new costumes are out. There's a new weapon and the thing with the hammerhead shark, I believe, is the hammerhead shark, the hammerhead content. I downloaded, so...
Can we talk about
something
that real quick?
Huh?
About how we no longer want to try to help South Peak. We want to help BioWare with their DLC plans.
Yeah, it's
because they're just god awful at this.
Go on.
Well, of course, the first Mass Effect, they admitted that they were god awful with it. They waited too long to put stuff out. It didn't work with people's previous save files. So they kind of promised that they were going to fix all this stuff this time around, but they've waited too long already for this. Everybody's already finished Mass Effect 2. I already know who all was there to save the galaxy. This stuff didn't happen. Like, it needs to be content that either comes out in a timely fashion that I can get to add to my game, or it needs to be something that is after what has already happened, like, in between this game and the next game.
And because you made me doubt myself, yes, the Firewalker pack is out now.
Okay. I didn't see it this morning.
And it's free. That's
it came
free
out,
if you
it,
have
it was out yesterday.
Service.
It came out yesterday.
Oh, it's because of that Cerberus network. You don't see that stuff
yeah,
on
no,
there.
It's part of the Cerberus network. It came out yesterday. Well, here's what my issue is. I downloaded it, and I was going to go play it. I wanted to play it as my original character, and it wasn't in my game. So I don't even know where it is. So...
Oh, see, that's another Cerberus network thing. I don't even know that is out. Like, people don't... Like, you'd have to actively be putting Mass Effect into your Xbox 360 or checking blogs and everything to find out that it came out. But, like, it's not... It should be on Xbox Live where I can see it and know that it's there. And I don't know. They just... If for as good of games as BioWare makes, they do not do DLC well. And Mrs. Ship has been playing the Dragon Age Origins Awakening. And it's just weird how that works, too. Like, a bunch of your DLC stuff from previous DLC doesn't add on. Like, you can't bring certain weapons or certain characters or even, like, certain skills that your character had in the first game. It doesn't go on to this add-on. And then there's just, like, weird stuff. Like, in Dragon Age, you have a dog, and then you name the dog and everything, but then when you look at your menus and go through your scrolls or whatever, your dog no longer has a name in the new one. Your dog is not even around. Like, it gives you all new characters, which is fine because whatever, your other characters are off doing their new missions or whatever they're off doing. But it's your dog. Like, he should come along.
You like
what's
that
he
dog,
off doing?
Didn't you?
The dog was the best part of that game.
It just doesn't make, like, I don't know. It's like they don't think these things through with the DLC.
Well, let me ask
DLC.
You this. How interested are you in driving a vehicle around in Mass Effect and shooting things with the vehicle?
See, I want to play it because I like Mass Effect and I like the universe. I just think that something like this that really has no bearing and to have it come out, I think it's a little late for this DLC, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to answer my own question. I have really no interest in doing that. I mean... In the original Mass Effect, most people really disliked that whole the Mako tank missions. So why is that like a great free add-on for this Mass Effect 2? It's basically the same thing, right? Isn't that what it is? You just drive around and shoot people in a tank, right?
Basically, yeah.
So I don't know.
It's better than $2 costumes.
Well, the costumes. Yeah, another thing.
$2 costumes is just ridiculous.
And it's only for three people.
They should have just included that with that other... If they wanted to have that paid content, they should have just held it until April 6th and kept it with that other, the Kasumi pack or whatever her name is.
And that's going to be... You know what? And that's going to be lame, too, because it's going to be... You're going to pay, what is it, $7 for that? And it's going to be like an hour.
Yeah, it's going to be $7, and for all we know, it's, you know, one... I don't even know. It could be... Is it one mission or two missions?
It's a few missions, I think. They said it's supposed to take about an hour, maybe a little longer than
if
an
it
hour,
follows the pattern of the game, there's the drafting mission, and then there's the loyalty mission.
Right. And maybe one mission in between or something.
Maybe they'll throw in some sort of anomaly somewhere.
Right. All right. Well,
it's just
we yelled at them.
It's just sad. But, like, we all love this game so much.
Of course.
It's just sad that they didn't think this
yeah,
through very well.
I was going to play it, but when it didn't show up in my game, I said, just cause.
Right, just cause. All right, so let's move on then. Some big news here. Looks like, you know, we talked about the Xbox 360 Slim rumor, and last week Shipwreck was wondering, you know, how are you going to fit a hard drive onto that? And the answer is, you know, maybe you don't need to, because Microsoft is planning USB storage connectivity for the Xbox 360. And currently, you have to use those Microsoft, you know, memory cards, which only go up to 512 megabytes and are expensive. But it looks like soon you can be able to use any USB device that you want.
Up to 16 gigs, right?
Up to 16 gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to give a shout out to Alexander Solinsky, who was the first person to he really break the story, but he did a really good follow-up on Joystick, if you get a chance to read it, where he spoke with Ben Heck, you know, the guy who makes all those weird, crazy consoles, and they went over the motherboard, that leaked motherboard picture, to try to figure out where things would go and if it could be a Slim 360 and why Ben Heck thinks it could be and what everything on it means. So if you're not a technophile, if you really have no idea, you know, you could show me a picture of 9 motherboards. I wouldn't know what's what. But they go through it step by step and they explain it. And it's really good and it's definitely worth reading if you're interested in the Xbox Slim or what the new motherboard could be and how it ties into this USB announcement.
Yeah. I mean, I still think, like, you know, 16 gigabytes is not a lot. So,
well, you could put in 2 USB ports for 32.
Yeah, but still, you know, now the 250 gigabyte hard drive is available separately and it's $130.
Yes, that is more than 32.
It is. It's way more.
That's interesting that they released that, though. Like, that makes me question whether there actually is a Slim coming.
Well, they had to make them anyway for the for those limited edition consoles that they made. So maybe they said, "Hey, screw it, we'll just sell them, make some more, and we'll sell."
Well, for all you know, there's a warehouse of them somewhere that they needed to get rid of. Maybe they had planned on making these larger hard drives, and then they said, "Now let's do the Slim instead." I mean, at this point, though, with the USB, once that's there, if you could get an arcade for $200. Plus 36 gigabytes of storage. I mean, that's more than it came with, at launch. It's not a bad deal. I mean, I have some thumb drives lying around the house.
You're saying, if they just keep the arcade at the current price, but throw in USB memory?
Yes. Obviously not with the sticks, but it's still cheaper than a memory unit and a 20 gigabyte hard drive.
Right.
Which, if you're not looking to do some heavy downloading, it's really not bad. Or you could obviously just keep swapping out those thumb drives.
Yeah. All right. One other thing I wanted to mention before we move on to Nintendo. There was a lot of controversy going around the internets. People saying that Project Natal would only work in very large living rooms. But Microsoft has come out and said that that's not true. Because we got a lot of messages via Twitter about wanting us to address that. So it says it'll fit into any living room. Okay, so you don't have to worry if you have
even
a small
mine,
room. Not yours. Yours, you have no living room. But are you upset about that? You sound upset. All right, let's move on to Nintendo. The big news being that they announced that they have a new DS coming out, the 3DS, and that's going to be coming out in 2011. They said maybe, and of course. It's a perfect time to announce the new console, like a week before the XL comes out in America. Because that's what you want to do. You want to put doubt in people's minds for buying your new system that's about to come out, and maybe they should just wait like a year to check out what else is coming out. It's really confusing why they would announce this.
Yeah, I don't get it. I was on the fence. Like, I probably wasn't going to get an XL, but I had some extra money, and I was kind of looking on Amazon. I'm like, I might like a DS with a bigger screen. I mean, doesn't seem that bad. But then as soon as this got announced, I was, I think I'll wait. See what this is. Doesn't make any sense.
It's a whole new system, right? It's not just a DS. It's going to have its own games, I'm assuming. Right?
Well, I mean, if it's 3D, you would probably want games that take advantage of the 3D abilities. I mean, I'm sure we'll see it at E3.
They did say it's going to be playable at E3, and it will be backwards compatible with the DS. So, it's a whole new system.
Mario 3D, I'm sure will...
Of course. I mean, I don't know. How lame... The question really is how lame is the 3D going to be?
Depends. I mean, it doesn't require glasses.
So it's going to be lame. The only question is how lame. Is it going to be extremely lame or moderately lame?
Well, they haven't gotten the TVs to work without glasses yet, right?
No, they haven't. Right.
I don't get what it means then.
I think it's depth, not projection.
I don't know. I mean, of course, it's not really fair of me to poo-poo it before it comes out, before we've seen it, but I'm very skeptical about how good the 3D could be. It's a portable system, you know, and you don't wear glasses. So how good could it be?
We'll find out.
You know it's got to be cheap because it's going to be a Nintendo product, and, you know, it's going to be less than $200.
I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say that it's probably going to be better than we think.
All right. I mean, look, I always like to question Nintendo, and then they make a gazillion dollars. So
yeah, they've never screwed up a portable system yet.
Right. All right, so we'll see, and I guess we'll get...
Unless you count Virtual Boy, but I don't think that's...
that wasn't portable. That wasn't really portable, though.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll see it. We'll play it at E3, and we'll make our decisions there. Sony came out and said... who is this? This is a funny quote. John Kohler, who's the director of hardware and marketing at Sony... He said, having been in the portable space for quite a while, I think it's an interesting move, but one I'd like to see where they go from a demographic standpoint. 8 and 9 year olds playing 3D is a bit of a stretch, given where some of our research is right now. Young kids don't like 3D? Is that what he's saying?
Of course not. That's why every kids movie that comes out is in 3D.
Yeah. I mean, your kids can't appreciate 3D? And a 9-year-old can't appreciate 3D? That seems pretty retarded to me. Oh, I'm not supposed to say retarded, sorry. That seems pretty weird to me. I got yelled at for using retarded.
I know, and now you just offended all the weird people. Way to go. That's like 98% of our listeners.
I'm sorry.
Have you seen that, by the way? What? Weird Al movie trailer?
No.
Oh, it's hysterical. You got to watch that.
He has a movie?
No, it's a spoof movie trailer of the Weird Al story. It's really funny. You have to watch it.
Oh, all right. I'll check that out.
It's got Gary Cole in it and Olivia Wilde and, yeah.
And all right. So that's
from Breaking Bad, isn't it? So you'd like it.
All right. Anything for Nintendo? Anything else?
Does it have Gary Cole or Gary Coleman?
Gary Cole.
I don't know who that is.
He was in the Brady Bunch movies. And he's the voice of Harvey Birdman.
Oh, okay.
iPhone, anybody been playing anything on the iPhone? I downloaded a sexual positions app. I forgot let me see what it's called here.
Is it called I Kama Sutra?
No, it was called I'll buy anything for a dollar on iPhone. It's called 69 Positions, and it has 69 sexual positions in it. So I've got two done. I got two under my belt.
So they're all alone, or is it?
They have everything. They have the main menu looks like this: oral, face to face, rear entry, butterfly variations, cowgirl variations, and exotic. The exotic ones are ones like you need to be like in really good shape to do.
You need a pommel horse and a bucket for this.
Exactly.
Way to bring it back. Good job.
Yeah.
Nice call.
So I showed it to Mrs. Chivy, and she was just like shaking her head, basically.
She said, get my cowboy hat. We're going for a ride.
Nope.
That's
not what she said at all.
No reverse cowgirl for you.
I guess not. All right, let's move on to show us your tweets and the CAG bag. Oh, look at this. Iron Past writes in. He says, I don't know about you guys, but I'd be more on board if Microsoft and Sony just skip Natal and move altogether and just release some badass light guns instead. The pointer is the only good thing about the Wiimote anyway. Yeah, I love a good light gun game.
Didn't they release some for the PlayStation 3 when it launched, and they haven't released any since then?
Time was
terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what happened? I enjoy a good light gun game, but it did. Talk about a genre that died, but shouldn't.
Well, it's because you need a sensor bar. Because they don't work with the LCD screens.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the whole reason they don't have.
I knew we kept you around for a reason.
Why that Sony one was, or whoever made that one?
Namco. PS3. Was it Namco? Don't they make the time?
Namco published it. I'm not sure who made the gun. Probably Namco. But that one had like almost like power glove type setups where you were setting up different sensors and everything. I would like that if they can figure out how to make it work. I'm sure Ben Heck knows how to make this work.
All it requires is a sensor bar. I mean, they could come with a sensor bar. Like the guns come with a sensor bar.
Yeah, I like light gun games.
Sure. My favorite, I'll tell you my favorite light gun game of all time. It's on the PlayStation. It's on the original PlayStation. Do you know it yet?
Point blank.
Nope. Oh. It's based on a movie license.
Die Hard Arcade.
Die Hard Trilogy.
Die Hard Trilogy. Yeah.
It's three games in one, and one of the games is a light gun game. There's a light gun game part. There's a driving part, and there's like a third person action part. Yeah, the light gun part is really good. So, and I like Virtual Cop also.
I always like House of the Dead.
Yeah, you need to play House of the Dead Overkill.
Yeah, Hot Dew is awesome.
Okay. Let's see. Flyers 241 says, "Hey, Cheapy and Wombat, what were the themes to your bar mitzvahs?" And he said, "I'd ask Boat Crash, but I'm not sure he's Jewish." And it would probably be G.I. Joe anyway. For people who aren't Jewish, bar mitzvahs usually have themes where basically, I don't know, explain this, Wombat. I'm all Jewed out.
So, yeah, it's a big party, and your party has a theme, and it's usually whatever, something stupid that 13-year-olds are into. And
what
you
was
have
yours?
Mine was TV and comedy.
That's a pretty general theme.
It was pretty general. We had a stand-up comedian perform in my bar mitzvah, and he was terrible. It was probably he probably worked for the catering company. That's
right. He was probably like the bartender.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful.
I think it was cars. I think it was either going to be computers or cars, and then we just decided that either cars was easier to do or less nerdy. I'm not sure. Probably maybe a combination of both. But it basically just means like I think like the gift that you give out is somehow based on your theme,
yeah,
right? And the centerpiece of the table, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's not, and it's really just for like the kids' tables. It's not like the adults' tables have anything on it. So, you know, and occasionally there's always that one kid that has that crazy bar mitzvah. I went to one that was Islander themed, and a good number of the Stanley Cup winning team from the early 80s was there. Signing autographs.
Ridiculous. My bar mitzvah was very low key.
As was mine.
I went to one that had a full blown carnival in it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It had carnival, like real carnival games and prizes, like TVs. Like you could win TVs at the bar mitzvah. It was ridiculous.
That's highly ridiculous.
Mine was at a restaurant in Glen Cove, I believe.
Mine was just in the catering portion of the temple.
Right. All right.
And Shipwreck's bar mitzvah was
was where?
I have no idea.
I've never been to one. I don't think we have Jews in Ohio.
No, you don't.
No, I don't think so.
Cheesy Poofs wants to know how Shipwreck met his wife.
In high school.
I did.
I know.
She was doing math homework.
He's going to marry the first girl he leaves, and she's going to treat him like shit for the rest of his life.
What movie is that from?
Ferris Bueller.
Yes. Right. I am Cameron. That is true.
You met her in
study
hall?
I think I asked my best friend in high school to see if she liked me. And now we went from there.
Right.
And the rest is history.
Right. Another question for Shipwreck. Knights Dawn says, "What NBA player can you compare your play style to?"
San Diego Chicken. Yeah. I get the Steve Nash, John Stockton type comments.
So white guy,
short white guy.
Short white guy is who I most get compared to. Yes,
right. I would believe it.
Oh, we're not going to talk about Captain America, huh? We're going to skip that over.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Where's that?
It's under Cheesy Poofs.
Oh, he also wants to know... Wait, what does he say? The Wombat, the actor who's playing Human Torch is also playing Captain America?
Yeah, the guy who played Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
Is Chris Evans is now going to play tapped to play Captain America? I guess you don't know anything about this. What's crazy about this is he's playing Captain America. He had to sign for 9 movies. It is a 9-picture deal to play Captain America.
How are they going to make 9 movies out of that? They couldn't even make like 3 Spider-Man movies.
A lot of it is appearances in other movies. It's like, they make 3 Captain America movies and he shows up. My guess is, and this is a bold prediction, after the credits of Iron Man 2, I say Chris Evans shows up as shows up.
Is he a good captain? Is he going to be a good Captain America?
I think he is, but I am a little biased because I have a friend that is, you know, he's not like a close friend, but he's a friend of mine. But this guy's best friend since forever is Chris Evans.
I see.
And yeah. I actually, my copy of the Fantastic Four DVD, which was a gift from this friend, actually is signed by Chris Evans.
Nice.
So since I kind of have a link to him, like he's a friend of a friend, I'll say...
You're rooting for him.
I'm going to root for him because everything I've heard about him personally makes him come off as a really good guy, so...
Is he not Very too cool. young to play Captain America?
Well, you know, I read up on it a little bit, and supposedly when they thought him out, he was supposed to be 28 years old.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and that's how old Chris Evans is.
He just seems much older because he's kind of...
He does, yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of a douchey superhero.
He's very stuck up. He's very conservative. He's the conservative hero to Tony Stark's liberal.
Captain America.
Yeah. So you put them together and you get, you know, something exciting. And Thor. So I guess it's supposed to be in the middle.
All right. Let's see. Any of these other ones, or should we wrap it up, call it a day, and then do our Metro?
Well, you guys are going to do your Metro thing, and I'm probably going to go to sleep.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, so let me do our little plugs here. So, of course, I want everybody to go to GoDaddy.com and register your domain names. KEG10 gets you 10% off. KEG5 off 30 gets you $5 off $30. And KEG domain gets you $6.95 domain registrations. Follow us all on Twitter, twitter.com/GBD, twitter.com/wombat5277, and twitter.com/shipwreck. Also, this is PAX East is coming up this weekend. Go skip all the important panels and see Wombat on Friday from 3:30 to 4:30 in the Manticore Theater. It's worth it.
Yeah, you'll see me. You'll see D Smooth, Lady J, Code Monkey, Wombat, and Waterboard.
Excellent. Okay, so thank you for listening, everybody. Please stay tuned for Metro 23. And Wombat, you can just hang up or whatever and send me the file, and Shipwreck and I will keep going.
Oh, this should be good. I can't wait to listen to it myself tomorrow.
Right. It's gonna be fantastic.
You guys are awesome.
Goodbye, if you're not sticking around. And if you are sticking around, welcome to Metro 2033, the spoiler-filled discussion.
Very nice. So, did you understand the story?
Of course. The story is very, very easy to understand. There was a nuclear holocaust, and this guy, your main, Antium, is that, I believe, the guy's name.
They say it, Artium, I think.
Artium is your, the
they,
guy
they
you control.
They say it millions of times.
Yes, I know. I forgot. Antium was the battle in Civil War, I think. So everybody lives in like subway stations, and his subway station is under a major attack from these mutants.
The Dark Ones?
Mutants also.
That's the part I got confused at was, are the Dark Ones, like, they seem like they were aliens, kind of?
You're not really sure if the Dark Ones are, I sort of saw the Dark Ones as super mutants.
Okay.
Like, they were, like, controlling the other mutants, and they had, like, psychic powers. So your station is basically under a major attack, and your whole mission is to get help to defend your station, because all the stations seem to be, like, pretty self-contained. And at the end, as you go through the story, they realize the only way to stop these mutants is to get to a missile facility and launch missiles at your station, you know, and I guess because your station is underground, you'll be protected, but all the mutants coming from outside will be destroyed. And that's the whole story.
More or less, yes.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have the whole Nazis versus fascists thing going on. Those are the same people, right?
Nazis. It was the Nazis.
Nazis and the communists.
Communists, right? Yes. But that wasn't. They never really took that. Went anywhere with that, except for one scene where there's a fighting, I guess.
And they never really. I guess it's not so much that I don't understand the plot. It's just that a lot of it was left open, because it's never explained why Artyom is somehow immune to some of these blackouts that everybody else has.
They're saving that for Metro 2034.
Right. I guess. And which, there's two different endings to the game.
Oh, there are?
Yes.
Okay.
There is the ending where you either, did you shoot the Dark One at the end?
I did, because I tried not to shoot him and he just killed me.
Okay. There's apparently an ending where after you shoot him, you can also shoot the homing device that tells where the missiles are going to fire to.
Oh.
And so then you don't blow up the city?
But I thought that's the whole point.
Yeah, I didn't get that ending either. But I know there's two different endings that are based upon... There's like 3 points in the game that you can make like good or bad decisions in.
Right.
Like you can either give like the poor beggar kid a bullet, which is the currency.
I did that.
23. And then there's one where there's a beggar... And then
there was one where a woman tries to give you a gift, and I refused that.
Yes, those are the three. Those are the three areas. And then I think there's some other missions. It's a very linear game, but it's actually possible to skip some of the things. Like I never turned on the radio tower.
Me neither.
Yeah, so I think that might have been why we didn't get the choice at the end, which ending we were gonna get.
Right.
But yeah, the story it's very atmospheric, but I'm not sure. I quite loved the story.
Hmm. Yeah, the story could have been a little better. It was, you know, the story was secondary to the whole look of the game for me.
Yeah, which is great. Like you, even though it's very linear. I mean, there's actually on rails portions where you're riding in a minecart or some other kind of vehicle on the subway tracks.
Hmm.
I constantly wanted to get to the next area. Like yeah. It disappointed me when I got to the next area that I had to shoot people because I didn't like the shooting at all. But right. I wanted to get to the next area to see what was going on there.
Yeah, I did that too, and also like I did feel like it did a very good job of creating tension when you're, you know, going around in the dark with your flashlight and you hear like the mutants growling. It was like really effective, I thought. I mean, again, of course, like, you know, it starts to run out of steam as you go through the story because it's basically the same thing over and over again. But definitely, like, you know, like for the first half of the game, that was really cool.
Yeah, I think they did a fairly good job of mixing up the different situations, because there was areas you were supposed to use stealth in, and then there were areas that were kind of more tactical to how to you were supposed to move around and kill the guys, and then there were the mutants that would just run at you and kill you. So I thought they did a pretty good job mixing it up, and then towards the end it got a little bit like aliens were attacking or something. Like you had all those explosive
right, that was weird.
Balls or orbs or whatever.
Amoebas, they call them.
Amoebas, yes.
What's the story with the prostitute?
The prostitute?
There's something someone was telling me about a prostitute on Twitter, and I never came across one.
I don't remember any prostitutes.
I'm trying to look it up now. There's a video about it. I don't know what it is.
Hmm. I mean, there was a couple areas in the game where I wandered off, like, because there's some exploration in the game.
Right.
But I'd wander through areas, and there was this one area that was just full of all these tripwires that you can disable. But there didn't really seem to be anything else in that area. Like, I just walked to the end of it and then turned back around after, I don't know, probably it seemed like about 5 minutes of walking in one direction.
I see. Yeah, you can get... I got lost a couple times, but nothing too serious. I'm watching the video of the prostitute now.
Okay.
And you
How's
give
that
her,
going?
You give her ammo, and she leads you back to her room, and there's a guy who's going to kick your ass, I believe.
Hmm.
That's what happens. Yeah, he kicks your ass, and they take some stuff.
Oh, so, okay. Don't
do the prostitute.
Okay. That must be another one of the things that affects the ending, then.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'll tell you one thing that was really like painful to play through Well, and I don't know, but you have to escort a child somewhere, and you're carrying him. You're physically carrying him.
That was kind of cool, I thought.
The game actually makes you feel like you're carrying him and that your controls go to shit.
Yeah, it's I was like, wow, that's kind of neat. Like, I didn't need to be any worse at aiming, but...
Right, the aiming was pretty hard already, but now it's basically impossible.
But I thought it was... mechanically, it was kind of a cool idea.
It worked, I guess. And I guess, you know, always with that game is that you can sort of run past the enemies. Right? There's no, like... You don't need to kill everybody to get to where you're going.
No, it'll just kind of go into a cutscene and go on to the next area.
Yeah, there's no, like, invisible force field that disappears when you kill all the enemies.
No,
overall, I would really recommend that if it sounds interesting, to give it a try.
Yeah, I liked the... how you could charge up the night vision in the flashlight too.
Right.
You would pull out the charger and you just like pump it up with the right trigger.
Yeah, I would pump it up a lot more than I needed to actually. But
yes.
It's supposed to make the flashlight more powerful. And I only had one part, like, you know, when you're wearing your gas mask, if you're wearing it in combat and you get hit, the gas mask starts to get cracks in it and it'll eventually break. And you can die. And I had, towards the end of the game, I got attacked so much that my gas mask broke, and I couldn't find any replacement, and I kept was dying, and it would keep reloading the checkpoint with my broken gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually had to go back to the main menu and start all the way from the beginning of the chapter. But
oh, really? I never had that happen.
Luckily, it happened towards the beginning of the chapter, so it wasn't that painful.
Okay. Some of the level design was actually pretty good, I thought. The one area where the buildings were kind of falling down around you and you were kind of weaving in and out of the different rooms while the mutants were attacking you.
Yeah,
towards the end.
Yeah, there's a lot of unique stuff to the game, I think, and that's why it's worth checking out. It's not like, you know, it's sort of like Fear if Fear was more original. You know?
Yeah. I think Fear, it was the same environment over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, it was just an office building. And this really has the whole atmosphere of the subway system and the different mechanics with the gas masks and everything.
Yeah, and you go outside in the nuclear winter and the wind is blowing. And it really, like, does a great job with the sound. And even, like, when you're trying to aim your, you know, if you have a sniper rifle, you have a difficult time aiming it because the wind is so strong.
Yeah. And the weapons do get better as you go along too. Like, I mean, they're not great by the end, but
yeah.
You definitely get, like, there's the sniper rifle or the sniper pistol that I enjoy because I can actually aim that. And then you have the more powered up shotguns and stuff. So it gets better as you go along. And did you play with your headphones on?
Yes.
The sound is good.
The sound is excellent. The guns, like I said, like the wind, the whole breathing in the gas mask, the sounds of the mutants roaring are all really excellent and do a good job of keeping you in the game. The weapons that I used this, like, same as you, the pistol, the sniper pistol. I used the shotgun, the auto shotgun with a bayonetta on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Bayonet, I mean, not bayonetta,
yeah.
Bayonet. And I used, I eventually got a machine, the guy gave me a machine gun. Towards the end of the game, you know, through the bars, and I wound up using that.
Yeah, and the reload animations are pretty fantastic.
I didn't understand why people made a fuss out of over that.
The shotgun, where you loaded it from both sides and you switched hands with it and everything.
I don't know. I didn't.
It's kind of cool.
I guess so. I didn't. I remember people talking about it, and I kept looking to see like what all the fuss was about.
It's just another one of those little touches. I think that helps with the atmosphere and like there's just something very, like, solid mechanical feeling about everything in their universe. Everything just, like, I don't know, it has a physical sense to it.
Yeah.
But I don't... I kind of want to compare it to Bioshock just because of the whole atmosphere. Like, I much prefer this to Bioshock 2.
Well, because you haven't really seen this before, and you've seen Bioshock 2 pretty recently.
Right.
You know, you just played through Bioshock 1 not that long ago, and...
Yeah, I don't think it's anywhere near the level of Bioshock 1 just because the shooting mechanics and the storyline I don't think are quite as polished as BioShock was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I the more I talk about the game, the more I like it.
Yeah, it's a good game. There's no question about it. It's good. Just play it on easy. That's the only thing we're going to tell you. If you're going to get it, play it on easy. Unless you really like punishment.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't.
No.
I'm not big on that. But I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about it?
I think that's it.
I think that's good enough on it.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right. Well, that's our Metro 2033 wrap-up. Definitely check it out. Rent it. Definitely rent it, I would say. $60 or $20. $60, you know, I don't think there's any replay value there.
No, there's no multiplayer or anything. It's just your
no.
your 9-hour campaign, and that's going to get you through.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Shipwreck. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Virtual Boy takes you into the world of 3D video gameplay in Wario Land. You team up with the devious Wario in a virtual underground world. Multidimensional caves challenge you as you seize different hats which give Wario different powers. Attempt to seize the riches of this underground world and escape with the key to freedom. A 3D game for a 3D world.